You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's program, we have a special broadcast for you featuring our own Dr. James Dobson and Gary Bauer, our Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dobson Policy Center. As you'll recall, it was just about 2 weeks ago that Americans went to the polls in record numbers and actually delivered a historic victory for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance to become the next President and Vice President of the United States. But how did Christians vote? And why should we as Christians either be concerned or elated with the verdict? Well, during the next half hour, Dr. Dobson and Gary Bauer are going to discuss the ramifications of what happened on November 5th and how these implications will impact our culture moving forward. And now, here's Dr. James Dobson with more.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, which is a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. Today, our guest is one of my very best friends on the face of the earth. He's Gary Bauer, and we've worked together for many years at the White House and in other places. I just love this man, and I gave him a call and asked if he'd be with us to talk about a subject he knows more about than I do. And that's not a surprise because he knows more about most things than I do. Gary, it's so good to have you with us.
Jim, it's great to be with you, and it's particularly great to be with you on this occasion when we want to talk about our country and some things going right for a change.
In the light of that topic that we're going to be talking about, I want to ask you if you remember the time when we first met.
Well, I remember it was I was in the Reagan administration, and at least that's my recollection. And I was periodically irritating the liberals of Washington, D.C., and I would get a lot of criticism. And you saw some of the things I was saying and doing and liked them and began to give me visibility through your daily radio show. But I don't remember the exact place or time, and I bet you do that.
I do. Remember, okay. You were at a luncheon, and I came in. Somebody brought me in, and there were about 8 or 10 people there, and you were one of them. And I went over and shook your hand, and that was the beginning of a long and very loving, productive relationship that we have shared through the years.
It has been quite a trip, Jim. We wrote that great book together, Children at Risk. It wasn't one of your bestsellers, I think, because it dealt with some of the subjects we're talking about today, but it was my bestseller.
Well, it sold 300,000 copies. It didn't do too bad.
No, that's great, but so many of your books were in the millions. But, you know, you and I, one of the things we've shared as an opinion for a long time is that men and women of faith in this wonderful country all too often don't seem to understand that if they don't get into the public square and learn a little bit about how government works and vote on election day, that they're going to wake up one day and find out that all that is gone. And so Children at Risk was trying to warn them of that. And all these years, and we're still in that battle, still worried about the same thing. And this last cycle, things came out a lot better than I think we feared they would.
Hey, Gary, it's amazing to me how the book that we wrote at that time has become prophetic.
Yes.
Children at Risk. We're talking about what will happen to your kids if Satan gets a hold of them. And if we don't pay attention to what's happening at school and in the culture at large, that the children are going to be lost, and a lot of them have been because they were not diligent about the most important thing. And some people got upset at us when we wrote that book. They thought we were being critical of them. We really weren't. We were trying to warn them. And I think if you go back and read that book, you'll see that we were right squarely on target with that book.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know about you, Jim, but the phrase that comes to mind is that I felt like an unappreciated Paul Revere. I mean, we were riding on that horse telling everybody, wake up, you know?
I don't know about you, but I fell off of it.
Well, I think I fell off with one with you at El Canyon Ranch once. So. But no, that was the purpose of the book. And of course, you know, one of the great summaries of the book was America's divided in a civil war over values. And the winner of that war gets our children and the right to teach them what to believe about life and death, love and sex, and the nature of freedom and where it comes from.
I brought that up because we're fortunate now to have had some good things happen that I'm very pleased with, and we're going to talk about that today. Let's begin by talking about the election that just occurred. Did that surprise you, Gary?
I am still in shock. It's a narrowly divided country. All the signs are there in so many different ways. Plus, we just went through the most extraordinary year of surprising events, horrible foreign policy developments, this incredible outbreak of anti-Semitism we've seen all over America, which was shocking. We had the former President Trump, who went through over a year of being the target of, in my view, and I think you agree, a politicized criminal justice attack on him, where he was being indicted in every city you can think of. And none of those cases look like they have anything behind them. You had President Biden deciding he wasn't going to run, Kamala Harris coming out of nowhere. Now, of course, Jim, in the ministry here, we don't do direct politics. We don't say, you better vote for somebody like this or that. But what you do and have always done is you talk about the issues. And, man, I want to tell you, Jim, this cycle— this may have been the biggest accomplishment of all those years because you put out a lot of material on life, on the family, on this whole transgender insanity, on the attack on our religious liberty. And so with all that going on and a hostile media, I really thought that unless God chose to have some mercy on us, we were going to have another really bad election night, and the opposite has happened.
Gary, Shirley and I were so deeply, deeply concerned about what was seemingly about to happen to our great country. And I woke myself up in the middle of the night praying and just asking the Lord. In fact, I prayed the shortest prayer I've ever prayed. It was, please, please, Lord, please intercede for this great nation. Please be there in this time of decision.
Yes.
And unbelievably, for me and I'm sure millions of other people and probably you, we're praying a prayer that the Lord did answer, at least from our perspective.
Yes.
And the outcome is far better than I feared it would be.
I couldn't have said it any better, Jim. You know, for most of our lives, I've always been interested in government and politics, and you've always been an active Christian citizen. But most of those years, you know, you lose an election, you're disappointed. But the first thing that comes to mind is, well, we'll get them the next time. There'll be another election. And the reason it was easy to say that is in a lot of our past, the things that were up for grabs weren't like what's on the ballot now.
Yes.
It was an argument over the exact funding of a government agency or should Social Security be run this way or that way. Important things, but not things that change the very nature.
Like the complete restructuring of the Supreme Court, for example.
Yes.
Imagine what that would have done. And that was on the table.
Yes, no question about it. And I'm not sure people even during this cycle were paying attention to the fact that one of the two great American political parties, in this case, the Democrat Party, was openly saying that they wanted to vastly expand the size of the Supreme Court. And they were very clear about why. They wanted to put on 3 or 5 or 7 new justices, all of whom would be very liberal, pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, hostile to religious liberty, things that would drastically change the lives that we live and the kind of lives our children and grandchildren could live. So to me, the actual Supreme Court itself was on the ballot. Not only that, we had the whole issue of the open border. I mean, 10, 12 million people have just walked into America.
I still can't believe that.
I know.
And we were right on the verge of it. I mean, it looked through a major portion of the first part of those election returns as they came in.
Yes.
They were scary.
They were.
And were you sitting by the radio or television someplace?
I was sitting by the TV set with Carol. And I should have been heavily sedated because I was getting extremely nervous. And, you know, it's so hard these days to read returns because Election Day, and this is another pet peeve of both of ours, Election Day has become Election Month or Election Months. Even as we talk now, some days after the election, they're still counting ballots out in California. How in the world did we ever allow that to happen?
I don't know, Gary, but we're talking around about the election that just occurred, but we haven't talked to those who aren't familiar with those details.
Yes.
Maybe we ought to stop and do that. What happened a couple of weeks ago?
Well, President Trump won, I think it's fair to say it was a landslide. Certainly on the basis of the Electoral College, it was a landslide. He won all the states that almost every Republican candidate does win. And Kamala Harris won virtually all the states that are fairly certain for the Democrats. But there are 7 states that right now are considered to be swing states. They're states that literally one year they might vote for Barack Obama and the next year vote for Donald Trump. A little hard to explain, but this happens, right? So those states were Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, and then what's called the blue wall of Michigan, Minnesota, and Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And Donald Trump won all of those except Minnesota. He swept the table on those swing states. And he did it, Jim, in the most unlikely way. He not only got out a greater vote in the rural areas of those states and in the outer suburbs. But, and this I think is really good for the country, he broke in a meaningful way to Black American voters, Hispanics, various other ethnic populations. He carried about half of the Jewish vote in the United States. He switched Catholics who had voted by 10 points for Biden just 4 years ago. He switched them to 10 points in his favor. He won working class people of all races across the country so that now, and this is an amazing thing, the Democrat Party is dominating among wealthy, secular people, and the Republican Party and conservatives are dominating among middle class, working class voters of all races, particularly if they have religious faith. That's amazing.
How amazing is it, Gary? Did you in the middle of the night say, this is unbelievable? What happened here is not just that our side won and the other side lost. What's happening here is an absolute flipping of the culture in a way that has not happened before.
That's a great way to summarize it, Jim. I think this validated what, again, I hate to keep, you know, blowing our horns, Jim, but somebody's got to do it, so I'll keep doing it. We have argued for a long time that you can't just pray your way to winning an election, although this election was probably more prayed over than any time in history, right? You also have to work. And that happened in this election, too. People volunteered in amazing numbers, door knocking and watching for cheating and all the rest of that. And so there's a real model here, I think, that we, you know, what's that old saying? You should pray like it all depends on God, and you should work like it all depends on you. And I think sometimes Christians go to both extremes mistakenly. They think that all they have to do is sit in church and pray, and it'll take care of itself. Or they fall into the other trap of, well, if I just do more politically and spend more time stuffing envelopes, I don't have to pray about it. I can just do all this work, and it'll come out. Both of those, I think, are theological fallacies. I think it's when men and women of God depend on God and ask for God's mercy and ask for His wisdom, but also use the talents that God gave them to help the goal be reached, preserving and protecting this great nation.
Gary, what time of the night did you figure it out that one side had won and the other one had lost in a landslide?
I was leaning that way around 2:30 in the morning, and I decided I would catch a little bit of sleep. And I woke up about 3:30, and I was having the political equivalent of that dream that we keep having throughout life, that you didn't turn in that last paper and you didn't get your college degree. So I woke up thinking, oh no, they did it again. They dropped 5 million votes, and all those states have now gone the other direction. So I literally got up and went back downstairs, and I basically stayed up until the sun came up because I just didn't want to leave the chance. I almost thought that if I stopped watching, they would pull a fast one. How about you? What did you?
It was not till I woke up about 7 o'clock the next morning. I turned on the TV, and I didn't believe it. Honestly, I'm not laughing now. I didn't believe it because so much happened during the night. I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning that all that was settled.
Yes.
But I went in yelling at Shirley, and she woke up and said, "What's wrong with you?" And there was something that drastically right with me. I was feeling very elated. Gary, what does this mean? Let's try to talk about what Donald Trump might be able to do as a result of his and his administration. Do you think he'll have an impact on Israel and the Middle East?
I do, Jim. And in fact, I think his unrelenting support of the U.S.-Israel alliance was one of the things that contributed to the victory. As we're having this conversation, it's not that long past the election, and he and Prime Minister Netanyahu have already had 3 phone calls where they're talking to each other about how to solve the problem of Iran, and also how does Israel get a sense of security again, which has basically been erased by the events of this last year and this explosion of anti-Semitism all around the world, including here in the United States. So that is a real plus. I think he's going to be able to reach a peace treaty between Russia and Ukraine. God loves peacemakers.
You really believe that?
I do. I do. Now, it won't be perfect. Trump is the art of the deal, right? And he has often said that, you know, it's a good deal when not only does the other party leave the negotiations thinking this didn't go well, and you leave the negotiations thinking it didn't go well. So that means probably Russia and Ukraine both may have to make concessions. But Trump feels very strongly, and I agree, Jim, this has become a field of carnage. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are being killed. Billions of dollars are being wasted on all of this. We're over defending the borders of Ukraine while we wouldn't defend the borders of the United States.
Yes.
So Those foreign policy things are great. He reiterated just the other day he's going to be make a serious effort to get rid of the Department of Education and send all of those responsibilities with the money to the state and localities to let them run education. He also wants to turn it back to teaching real American history instead of anti-American history and get this LGBTQ poison out of our classrooms, something, again, that's very needed. The issue, Jim, that has motivated you all your life and me, the sanctity of life, not everybody's happy with President Trump. They wish he would do more. But I go back to a Christian virtue, which is called gratitude. He put three justices on the Supreme Court that overturned Roe. No other Republican president was able to accomplish that. So if he did not one more thing, he's already done something historic and has put us on a road where someday we might be able to welcome all of our children into the world, give them a seat at the table, make sure they're part of the American family. If Kamala Harris had won, and I know some of our listeners probably voted for her and may have had good reasons to vote for her, but if she would have won, she would have been the first president elected spending more money on ads promoting abortion on demand. She spent literally a couple $100 million trying to make that the number one major issue of the campaign. She thought she could stand on a mountain of aborted fetuses and reach the Oval Office. And that would have been a tragedy for this country if she had succeeded at that.
Nearly everybody, I think, thought that that would have a major impact because women care a lot about that issue,
yes.
Or at least a large number of them do. And we spent a lot of time worrying about that, how much influence was she going to have on the public. You know, it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about why, other than that, Kamala did not win. I can think of a number of things, but maybe I'm only reflecting my point of view. But she expected the American people to vote on her being the president of the United States with our having no information about who she was or what she believed or what she planned to do. In the efforts of the media even, which we hadn't counted on for much help, tried to fish out what she was really planning to do if elected. And they got very little help from her. I think that hurt her badly.
And that concludes part one of what will now be a two-part conversation featuring our own Dr. James Dobson and his good friend Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. They've been discussing election 2024 and the historic victory for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, plus a number of conservative causes all across the country. Now, the good news is the church did show up on Election Day. George Barna reports that 72% of the people who went to the polls on November 5th or in early voting in the weeks before, 72% of those voters were born-again Christians. That's good to see so many people of faith turning out to vote. But that's not where the work ends. That's really where the work begins. And one of the missions here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute is to equip you and your family to live biblically and to practice Christian citizenship and stewardship in the culture. When you go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk, you'll find our entire catalog of programs that we air here on a regular basis, our radio programs, as well as our podcasts. In addition, you'll definitely want to check out Gary Bauer's weekly podcast called Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. And you can find that podcast as part of the Dobson Policy Center at drjamesdobson.org. And then be sure to check out Dr. Owen Strand and the writing that he's doing at the brand new Dobson Culture cancer center. As a matter of fact, a couple thousand people downloaded his free ebook on why Christians should vote, which is still available on our website at drjamesdobson.org. When you check out the Culture Center, you'll see that we are dealing with practical issues that were literally on the ballot. One of the most important ones, transgender ideology, and what does it mean to be a woman in modern culture? Now, here at the Dobson Family Institute, of course, we rely on the classic book, the Bible, but also the classic work from Dr. James Dobson called Bringing Up Girls. And right now, you can still participate in a 10-day email series that's absolutely free based on the curriculum for Bringing Up Girls. To start receiving those emails on a daily basis, you'll get one per day for the next 10 days. Go to drjamesdobson.org/bringingupgirls, or just go to drjamesdobson.org and click the link on our homepage, and we'll get your email address squared away and start sending you those right away. Biblical masculinity, biblical femininity, parenting, marriage, these are the pillars of a solid foundation, and we are here to uphold those values for you and for God here in the 21st century here in the United States of America. Thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and thanks for listening to our program today. For Dr. Dobson and all of us here at the JDFI, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.